Q106.7 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. Highs level off around 96 today under mainly clear skies. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for storms tonight. Lows dip down to about 66. Partly cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 88 tomorrow. Partly cloudy. Highs around 87 Friday with a slight chance of thunderstorms. 87 Saturday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm staff meteorologist Ulur Lockwood. Currently 79.
This Kansas Information Network update is brought to you by Eaton Roofing and Exteriors.
Hi, I'm Felicia Rolfe. Here are today's headlines from 12 News. The U.S. and Iran continue to trade strikes. Tensions rose earlier this week after three ships were attacked in the Strait of Hormuz. U.S. Central Command launched retaliatory strikes on Tuesday, targeting dozens of Iranian military sites. Additionally, the U.S. reimposed sanctions on Iranian oil, causing a surge in prices. The Kansas Highway Patrol releases its 4th of July holiday weekend activity report. The agency says they made 27 DUI arrests, issued 752 speeding tickets, and assisted 614 motorists. The KHP says non-DUI-related deadly crashes were up, reporting 5 this year compared to 2 last year. Argentina kicks off the World Cup games in Kansas City, and they'll close it with the matchup against Switzerland. The two nations face off in the quarterfinal round this weekend. The game scheduled to start at 8 o'clock Saturday night. And Wichita, Felicia Rolfe, 12 News.
You're listening to the Kansas Information Network.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. If you're struggling with mental health, you should know that there are resources out there that can help. And it's okay to talk about it if you need to. One place to get started with information is loveyourmindtoday.org. Loveyourmindtoday.org offers a range of guides, instructions, and insights for dealing with difficult situations or getting through a tough time. If you're struggling with mental health, get the help you need, because most people out here really care. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
I'm Joanna. Your KQNK News is brought to you by the Norton County Hospital, providing the best care right here at home. Kansas wheat harvest continued through the holiday weekend, with most producers wrapping up the last remaining acres as hot, mostly dry weather allowed combines to stay in the field. According to the latest USDA crop progress report, Kansas wheat harvest reached 91% complete by July 5th. That's well ahead of last year's pace of 78% and the five-year average of 74%. Farmers in Mitchell County finished harvest around July 3rd after getting an early start in mid-June. However, nearly 9 days of rain interrupted harvest and created a challenging season. Growers dealt with a dramatic shift from extremely dry conditions early in the year to heavy rainfall later in the spring, along with freeze damage and insect pressure. Yields varied widely, ranging from about 12 bushels an acre to as much as 60 bushels, while protein levels also showed significant variation. Many producers reported this year's crop fell short of last year's average production because of the combination of weather-related setbacks. Across Kansas, growers said June rains delayed harvest and reduced both grain quality and yields in many areas, even though the crop matured earlier than normal. With harvest now more than 90% complete, many producers are turning their attention to post-harvest work and preparing for the next wheat crop this fall. The Kansas Wheat Harvest Report is sponsored by the Kansas Wheat Commission, the Kansas Association of Wheat Growers, Kansas Grain and Feed Association, and the Kansas Cooperative Council. The Kansas Department of Transportation plans to begin a resurfacing project on a portion of U.S. 36 in Phillips County the week of July 13th. Work includes milling and overlay, rumble strip installation and stripping on 13.5 miles of U.S. 36 from the east city limits of Phillipsburg to the Smith County line. The lane configuration east of Phillipsburg will remain unchanged. During construction, traffic will be reduced to one lane where crews are actively working and directed by flaggers and a pilot car. Delays of up to 15 minutes are possible. KDOT reminds motorists to stay alert, follow posted signs, and refrain from using handheld mobile devices in all active work zones. The project is expected to be completed in early September, conditions permitting. Venture Corporation of Great Bend is the primary contractor with a total contract cost of $3.2 million. Kansas agriculture was on display last month as the Kansas Department of Agriculture welcomed a delegation of agribusiness leaders from India for a trade mission across the Midwest. The group traveled through Illinois, Iowa, and Kansas to learn more about American agriculture and explore future trade opportunities. During their Kansas visit, delegates focused on the state's corn and sorghum industries, seeing firsthand how those crops are processed into livestock feed, ethanol, and other value-added products. The delegation toured a variety of operations, including Splitter Farms, Kansas Ethanol, Poet Biofuels, the Blue River Valley Terminal, the IGP Institute at Kansas State University, and Ag Partners Cooperative. They also visited the Tallgrass Prairie National Preserve and met with Kansas producers and agribusiness leaders during a networking event. State agriculture officials say the visit gave participants a firsthand look at the quality, innovation, and efficiency of Kansas agriculture while helping build relationships that could lead to expanded international trade opportunities. The trade mission was coordinated through a partnership between the Kansas Department of Agriculture and the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, with support from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Kansas Corn, and the Kansas Grain Sorghum Commission. I'll be back with more news after this.
Join our stellar team at Norton County Hospital. Looking for a workplace where compassion meets career growth? Look no further. If you're ready to embark on a fulfilling journey surrounded by supportive colleagues and opportunities for personal and professional development, we want you to be part of our family. Explore exciting career offerings and our comprehensive range of benefits, including CAPERS, on the Career tab at ntcohosp.com.
According to the unofficial minutes of the Norton City Council, the City Council met in regular session Wednesday, July 1st, with Mayor Dale Jacobson presiding. Council members present were Andrew Black, Craig Evely, Gerald Jones, Dale Engelbert, Jim Miller, and Jason Jones. Others were present to discuss council business or observe. Mayor Jacobson announced that due to some video issues with the camera, only the audio would be recorded and aired. Motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Jim Miller to approve the June 17th City Council meeting minutes. Motion carried 6-0. The building permits were presented. Ada Arford, Connie Lacey, Jeff LeClaire, Bill Vasura, and Jamie Harper. Cody Bredemeyer was present to request a small donation for Legos for Leukemia. Craig stated he believes it is a great cause, but he believes they are done donating. He said the city is in the business of handling other people's money, and where does it stop? He said it is his understanding that the council is done donating other people's money. Mayor Jacobson stated he's under the same understanding. As Craig pointed out, we are managing taxpayer dollars, and they are trying to be very careful with how they're spending those dollars. He stated that could change in the future, but he encouraged anybody, because it is a good cause, to donate. There were no old business items to discuss. City Administrator Dallas Goslin presented on behalf of Economic Development the 2027 Economic Development Budget. Dallas stated there is a $350 drawdown throughout all the line items except for the personnel services, which went up $4,665, for a total increase of $4,315 to the entire budget. This shakes out to a total of 40% increase for the City of Norton for $1,726. Motion was made by Andrew Black, seconded by Dale Engelbert, to approve the 2027 Economic Development Budget. Motion carried 6-0. Next, Dallas presented a Paint the Town application for 307 West Crane. Motion was made by Andrew Black, seconded by Gerald Jones, to approve the application. Craig asked what this was about. Dallas stated this is part of the County and City Economic Development Housing Program, in which if you paint your property, the city will help you with the cost of paint up to $300. Motion carried 6-0. Dallas presented the mold inspection invoice for Washington Square. Dallas stated this provides 11 air cassettes and testing. The company will draw in air through an air pump, and then they capture it to keep it airtight for testing. This came from deeper conversations between the library and Northwest Kansas Library System, with the library experiencing a pretty drastic roof leak. They're going ahead and taking this measure beforehand and will do it afterwards as well, because they requested it as tenants of the facility. Additionally, some more items came up with the Northwest Kansas Library System in regard to the lease that was given to them. They will be taking a deeper look at the lease regarding the square footage and some prior commitments that we as a city have said that we would do. We have three windows that we'll be replacing, roof replacement, the mold test, and some ceiling tiles. There There are some lights that presumably have some water damage due to some electrical flickers, so they'll go ahead and take a comprehensive look at the facility, with the mold test and the roof coming off to make sure the city is doing their due diligence for their community partners, and most importantly, the people that have a lease in the facility. Dallas stated in summary that they are going to pay much more attention and care to the tenants that are in the city facilities and make sure the city properly budgets to get them caught up. Lastly, Dallas stated on July 2nd from noon to 1 p.m., the city office will be closed as the employees are going to be having a barbecue at the Public Works facility. Dallas stated all employees, mayor, and council are invited as well. And with that, Dallas stated the city had a $366,000 payment for the water and sewer bond, a $278,000 payment for the pool bond, and paid $30,000 in the month of June in various Social Security, Medicare, and federal withholding taxes. A motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Dale Engelbert to approve the mold inspection for Washington Square. Motion carried 6-0. Mayor Jacobson stated he really likes the barbecue that's going on and the team camaraderie as we move forward into the next weekend with the police and fire departments being involved in some of the festivities going on. He stated he thinks it's really important and he's thankful for everyone that's getting involved. Dallas gave a personal thanks to Janelle Eagleberger for the barbecue and all the work she's been doing on it. Mayor Jacobson stated he would like to request an executive session at the end of the meeting. He also thanked everyone for coming out to the town hall meeting. He thought everyone did a good job and everyone was prepared. As always, you'll get a few comments here where people aren't real happy about something, but he's seen more comments about how well it went. Mayor Jacobson stated he thought it went very well. There was one minor disruption, but other than that, everything went good. On the library, Mayor Jacobson stated Jim, himself, and Dallas met with the library, and he thought it went very well. He stated they let him know that it's a new day, and this council is very concerned about making sure the city takes care of their responsibilities and make sure they're going to continue to communicate with people who have business with the city, which is a goal of theirs, in order to win back the trust of the town. City Attorney Abigail Horn stated, since it is July 1st, there have been a lot of statute changes. She stated she's been looking for a breakdown for all the ones affecting the city directly. The league usually does a breakdown, but she hasn't seen it yet. Once she does, she'll send it out by email. Mayor Jacobson stated WIBW posted on their website there are approximately 124 new laws. Abigail said yes, but not all of them affect the city. Assistant Police Chief Courtney Koss introduced Officer Fabian Loya and congratulated him on completing the Kansas law enforcement training. Fabian's girlfriend, Allison Keith, then pinned his badge. Dallas stated the city is happy to have him and he is a great addition to the team. Gerald welcomed him aboard. Andrew commented that the Glow Ride had another good turnout and thanked the police department for putting it on. Gerald Jones stated he would like to call for an executive session but would delay it until the end of the meeting. Andrew Black stated the Public Works Committee met to finalize plans for the Blue Cross Blue Shield Pathways grant for sidewalks. He stated they should have a resolution for the next meeting to approve and that should be the final step for the council. Jason Jones stated the only thing he has that he appreciates greatly the increase detailed in the minutes. He stated he thinks it goes a long way towards public transparency, so he was glad to see that. He also thanked Dallas and Alex. Jim Miller stated they talked about Buffalo Seed 2 weeks ago, and he has had some people tell him they've never seen anything about it yet. Dallas asked if this is on Sun Avenue or the cemetery. Jim stated Sun Avenue. Dallas stated he will speak with Revival Lawn Care as they're the ones doing the work, and he will provide an update. Jim asked if we are responsible for the weeds that are coming up. Dallas stated he will work with economic development to get that handled. Dale Engelbert reported the ad hoc committee met to prepare for the town hall. He stated Dallas reworked his presentation with the committee's approval. Dale reported the finance committee met to discuss the 2027 budget. He stated most of the discussion was led by Dallas and Alex, but they also had Cameron Archer in to present the fire department's budget. There was discussion on the 2027 RNR and how it compared to the 2026 RNR and what a mill levy would generate in both cases. Dale scheduled a finance meeting for July 8th. Motion was made by Gerald Jones, seconded by Jim Miller, to enter into executive session pursuant to KSA 75-431B2 for consultation with the city attorney, which would be deemed privileged in the attorney-client relationship, to discuss legal matters regarding an organizational concern regarding city property and a contract being negotiated. Present in the executive session shall be the city council, mayor, city attorney, city clerk, clerk and assistant police chief. Motion carried 6-0. After three executive sessions, the council resumed regular session status. A motion was made by Gerald Jones, seconded by Dale Engelbert, that the council delegate the authority to the city administrator, Dallas Goslin, to approve the response to the recent letter from the attorney that we received regarding our negotiations with the rec center. Motion carried 6-0. Motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Dale Engelbert to approve appropriating ordinance number 13 as a whole. Motion carried 6-0. Mayor Jacobson thanked the council for all the work they've done and wished everyone a happy and safe 4th of July holiday. He stated, as a veteran, he's extremely proud. It's the 250th anniversary of the United States, and he hopes they all have an opportunity to celebrate that as well. And to think of the people who fought, died, and formed this country years ago and what they did so that we can be here. Motion was made by Jim Miller, seconded by Gerald Jones to adjourn. Motion carried 6-0. This concludes the unofficial minutes of the Norton City Council July 1st meeting. I'm Joanna. Your KQNK News was brought to you by the Norton County Hospital. You can call the Norton County Hospital at 785-877-3351 for all your health care needs.
Kansas Agriculture Network News.
Good day, everyone. I'm Greg Akagi. DTN reports that U.S. farmers are paying a premium for seed and chemical inputs compared to Brazilian farmers, their largest global competitor, even though both countries' farmers are selling into the same global commodity market. That's according to a new study released by the National Corn Growers Association. Michigan farmer and NCGA's first vice president, Matt Frostick, said we're paying more for our inputs, and yet they're selling our products for the same price. The study, conducted by the analytical firm Kinetech, shows that U.S. farmers pay elevated prices for inputs even when exchange rates for the dollar and Brazilian real are factored in. U.S. farmers pay a premium for corn seed, fungicide, herbicide, and some insecticides. The price differences, they said, are substantial enough to affect farm profitability and long-term competitiveness. That's according to a report. Among the study's biggest findings, U.S. corn farmers paid an average of 68% more for seed than Brazilian growers from 2023 through 2025, while U.S. growers also paid substantially more for fungicides, herbicides, and insecticides. Frostick noted that when a committee was formed last year to look at input prices, said the industry was in a state of crisis, a characterization some people questioned at that time. Having more research to back up that claim, he said that he should push for more transparency in input pricing as well. Frostick said NCGA is still getting pushback from the industry over the group's focus on input prices. And you are listening to Agriculture News here on the Kansas Agriculture Network.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Kansas Agriculture Network weather.
I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on the Kansas Agriculture Network. Well, looks like a hot one ahead for us here for this afternoon across the entire state for today. We should see highs around about the mid to lower 90s, and instead it looks like mid to upper 90s, even 100 degrees expected for parts of the state here this afternoon. Mid to upper 90s expected for the eastern and northern portions of the state, and then for southwestern and south central Kansas, looking at temperatures just above 100 100 degrees. Also expecting to see mostly sunny skies across most of the state this afternoon. A little bit more cloud cover for north central portions of Kansas as we get to the later part of the afternoon hours. And then for tonight, it does look like we'll see overnight lows in the 70s for the central and eastern portions of the state, and then actually into the 60s for the extreme western portions. Along with that, it also looks like we do have a chance for some showers and thunderstorms coming in for the northwestern and north central parts of Kansas for tonight, and then building into the overnight hours into the south central and eastern portions of the state. Along with that, mostly cloudy skies across the region here for tonight. By Thursday, it looks like we'll see kind of a similar forecast as far as those hotter temperatures for south central portions of Kansas. Highs just above 100 degrees, otherwise lingering in the 90s for the southern portions around that for the state, getting into the upper 80s to lower 90s for the northern portion. So slightly cooler, but overall it'll still be a hot one across the state for tomorrow. It looks like we can expect to see maybe a little bit more cloud cover for the northern portions of the state. Sunshine to start off the day here for tomorrow, and then becoming mostly sunny across the state as well. Along with that, it looks like a few spotty areas of showers and thunderstorms for the eastern portions of Kansas in the morning hours, and then maybe a slight chance coming in for the northwestern portions as we get to the afternoon. This is the Kansas Ag Network.
The Voice of Agriculture, Kansas Farm Bureau.
Kansas Farm Bureau is accepting applications for its Rural Minds Matter Advocate of the Year and Young Advocate of the Year awards to shed light on the importance of mental health advocacy in underserved areas. These awards will go to compassionate and caring advocates who are dedicated to improving lives in their communities by comforting those in silent struggles and having conversations that break the stigma surrounding mental health, ensuring no one has to face their battle alone. Winners will receive recognition at Kansas Farm Bureau conferences this winter, in addition to a cash prize of $2,000 to further their mental health advocacy efforts. Nomination or applications for the awards are due July 17th. For more information and additional resources, visit kfb.org/ruralmindsmatter and listen again here for more from the Voice of Agriculture, Kansas Farm Bureau.
This is Jan Teen for Norton Livestock Market with our early consignments for this week's Thursday cattle auction. In the breeding stock, here's 27 black and red cows. They're 9 years old and older, bred to start calving October 1. They're bred Charolais. Here's 13 black pairs. They're older cows with 250 to 325 pound calves inside that are worked. We'll probably split these pairs. In the calves and feeders, here's 21 mostly black steers at 8 1/4. Three red and black steers at 750 to 800. We'll have our usual trailer run of butcher cows and butcher bulls. We'd be expecting more consignments of all classes of cattle by sale time. Thank you.